feeling of loneliness never leaves you. It haunts you everywhere you go. And then you meet me, and your whole world changes. Because everything I say is everything you've ever wanted to hear. So you drop your defenses, and you drop all your fears. And you're so busy feeling good that you never question why things are going so well. You wanna know why? 'Cause I'm a liar! Yeah, I'm a liar! I'll tear your mind out! I'll burn your soul! I'll turn you into me! I'll turn you into me! 'Cause I'm a liar! A liar! A liar! A liar!
This is Comics Therapy, episode 29. No reviews, just analysis. Up this week, two comics from February 5th, 2014. Loki number 1 and Black Widow number 3. As always, we have your nerd confessions. And as a special treat, because I love you all, the return of grief counseling. I burned through The Walking Dead volumes 11, 12, 13, and 14 since the last time we talked. It's gonna be a good one. Just as a reminder, we never do reviews, but we do talk a lot, so there may be spoilers from here on out.
Hello to all my fellow callers and rappers who carry this here Comics Therapy podcast. I'm Keith Silva. Comic book lies. Huh. What kind of prompt is this? All right. Here's a partial list of lies I was told would pay for college, buy a house, and bring me financial security. How about Eagle? That one was about a ninja. I have two copies of that. Ninja Funnies, also ninjas. Barbaric Tales. Tales from the Stone Troll Cafe. The Last Generation. Every issue of Albedo. And anything Frank Miller drew the cover for. There was Maya the Psychic Girl and Area 88. How about X-Mutants, spelled EX-Mutants? See what they did there? The X is also two crossed samurai swords. Awesome. There was X-Men. Sorry, it's pronounced Z-Men. See what they did there? Warlock 5, Elf Lord. Christ, how could I forget about fucking Elf Lord? Troll Lords, Red Fox. Look that one up if you want to learn how a young boy can get the wrong impression about women. Boosengar, Prime Slime Tales, My Beloved Thunder Mace, not a euphemism. Penguin and Pencilquin, although that one was charming and adorable, and so, so many more. Basically, anything that was black and white and barely passed as a comic was said to have intrinsic value and promise financial gain beyond our wildest imaginings back in the day. Caveat emptor, my friends, which is Latin, for Aaron has all of these comics stored somewhere in a long box.
So, welcome to Comics Therapy. Neither Aaron nor I are licensed therapists, so don't take anything we say seriously. This week's theme is all about lying. Lies we tell ourselves, lies we tell each other. Sometimes they're the same, and sometimes they're dangerously different. As a storytelling device, they can be exciting, stressful, and hilarious. In real life, it's a lot more complicated. Both of the solo books we're analyzing this week feature characters known for their crafty web of lies. It's a pretty good time to have deception as your superpower in the Marvel Universe.
The biggest lie in comics. I can't think of any specifics, but I think the biggest lie these days are always deaths. Deaths have come to hold so little meaning in comics that you need to go for 60 plus years with dozens, if not hundreds, of different writers. Any guarantee of characters staying dead is just a promise that often can't be kept, no matter what the person who says it intends. Matthew Ritter, writer of Nova Phase.
In between comic segments, your very own nerd confessions, celebrating the geeky things we all do, say, read, and enjoy. This week's prompt asks listeners to share their most memorable lie in comics, whether it was told to them, by them, or from one character to another. You can call, Skype, or email your confessions. All the details are on the website, comicstherapy.com. We're posting the weekly theme on the site, on Twitter, and on Facebook for your convenience, and the rest is up to you.
In between shows, you can find me on Twitter, at Andrea Schock, and Aaron, at Aaron Myers, and of course the show account, at Comics Therapy. Aaron, I know this was a really shitty week for you. I'm here for you. I can be your rock. Let me distract you from your worries while openly pandering to Keith Silva, who has repeatedly requested that we answer our own damn nerd confession prompt. So why don't you do that for us now?
The biggest lie in comics?
Yeah, totally.
That you're here for me now.
Way to make it personal, Myers.
Yeah, you asked. Careful what you ask for.
Uh-huh. Really? That's it? That's what you got for me?
That's all I have off the top of my head.
I gave you the script in advance so you could think about it.
Nah, I don't like to think about things.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, well, what about you?
I think well, this is going to sound so silly just because I'm not going to have all of the like, real context to back it up. But the biggest lie that I carried through comics from when I was much, much younger was the buildup leading to the death of Superman. And then, like, where did that ever go? And the reason why I say that with a question mark, being completely ignorant about the story, is that that was not a hook that was enough to get me interested because he was dying. And so in my naivety, I'm thinking, okay, well, another reason to like not get involved with this particular character or this particular company. Not that I was, anti-DC or anything, but I just didn't have the drive to find out more because he was dying. And I thought that meant, that he was actually going to stay dead.
Right.
So we joke about it a lot that there's no true death in comics. But really, dude, there's no true death in comics except for like Uncle Ben. He's pretty dead.
Kinda.
Well,
he's come back.
That's true. Okay, there's no real death in comics. It's just a giant lie.
No, that's okay though. Like, there is death in comics. There's just not death in Marvel or DC comics.
You're absolutely right. And just for clarification so that nobody thinks that I'm actually being 100% serious here, I think it doesn't fit the expectations of continuity, and I'm okay with that. It serves its purpose in storytelling, and then we can like reboot and change, and it's fine. When you take it outside of like the Marvel and DC universe, though, there's absolutely death in comics, and often that's like the most poignant storytelling that's taking place in like independent stories, and when there's like a tragedy of that scale involved. So, whatever, yeah. It's not a lie, but it was the first thing that I thought of, Mr. Silva, when we prompted the question in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's always that, and I think especially as children of the 90s in a way.
Yeah.
You know, that was our kind of greatest heartbreak in some ways. It's weird to have like a heartbreak be that a character comes back, which really is kind of a triumph in a way too.
Well, I guess, sure. It demonstrated that there was no actual stakes, right? There was no real finality to the decision.
Which is fine. And to me, it's like that's where I learned acceptance and that to enjoy stories rather than to think that superhero books are destinations. They're really just ongoing legends.
You came to that realization when you were like a teenager?
Yeah, I'm really smart. I'm really smart.
Really? Real, real smart.
Yeah.
What else have you been up to? real, real smart.
I've been sick for a week and a half.
How was dying?
It was good. I've passed that successfully on to my heir.
Yeah, yeah.
My first heir is now dying of the plague, and hopefully then my second will catch it, and then my bride will catch it.
Oh, Plague House.
Yep. And on top of that, one of our dogs almost died, so that it's been an exciting few days.
But since there's no death in comics, everybody is fine.
Everybody is getting better.
Yeah. You forgot to tell me how awesome I did last week, all by myself.
Great, you recorded 6 minutes of audio by yourself. I'm very proud of you.
That's not true, it was like 11.
Well, it should have been more like 6. You need to learn to edit.
Ah, touche.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry we missed a week, but, you know,
it happens. What do you mean we? You missed a week. Well, I am here for you. I am your fucking rock, as you told me. I got it done.
There's no you without me.
This is
you can't spell we without us.
Uh-huh. I also don't know how to upload, so there you go.
That's right. So other than that, it's kind of just been, we've been kind of holed up in the house. I mean, we could go back now, what is it, almost 3 weeks to Wizard's World, where I caught the plague, but
wow.
I think it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's you got sick right after that, so I think it's probably unfair to say that it was entirely the con.
I got it from the con, for sure.
No.
I started coughing the day after the con.
That's not how, science, Myers, science, that's not how it works.
That is absolutely how it works with me. Whenever I'm around somebody sick, I get sick the next day.
I'm saying that you had it earlier than that.
No way.
Okay, whatever.
Look, don't tell me. I know how this works.
Fair enough. I'm just glad you're better.
Yeah, but the con was fun. Wizards World was fun. It's an interesting kind of con. It's different than the other Portland shows, that it's very much more mainstream. You know, it's way more like a cosplay and celebrity-driven show.
Got it.
But it's kind of neat because it brings in people that I think would not normally come to, say, like a Stumptown Comics Convention. And there's people there that just aren't normally in Portland, too. So, no, I had fun. I bought lots of comics.
You did?
I did not get as many comics signed as I normally do.
Oh, that's okay. Right, because you didn't have an agenda. Still proud of you.
Yeah. And people were charging for signatures, which is way different than I'm used to. Not everyone, but, you know, a few people. But I did get 3 ROM commissions, so I'm very happy about those.
That's right.
Yeah. So, comics and comics and comics and more comics.
And death.
And death. Yeah, that's the downside.
Yeah. January sucked.
I thought I was safe.
Why? Why would you think you were safe?
Because I got the flu shot. And what about science? Science says, hey, you get the flu shot, you're safe.
Yeah, a couple other strains, though, not so much. Besides, like, typhoid and diphtheria and leprosy and scurvy and all that other shit you had. I'm not sure that you can get the flu shot for that.
I guess not. Well, now I know.
I'm so glad you're better.
I'm getting there. Until the next time.
Awesome.
Anything else to reveal?
I'm super busy, so I haven't been reading any comics.
That's not true. You read a bunch of comics this week.
I did read a bunch, but I'm also more behind than I typically am. And as far as this actual week, because it's Wednesday afternoon, and all I have read from this week so far, despite having preview copies, you know, Inner Circle and all,
right,
I have only read the 2 that we're talking about today.
Well, you're missing out. It's a good week for comics.
It's not like I'm not going to read them. It's just that I've been doing other shit instead.
I don't know why you wouldn't clear your Wednesday like I do.
You know, you're the second person that had to make a snippy comment about that today.
It's not snippy. It's just baffling.
Some of us have, you know, work.
What?
Right.
It's Wednesday.
Now, I started a new residency, so I'm teaching, and my schedule's all jacked. So I'm actually completely out of whack in regards to my day-to-day, like, routine, because it's much different than it has been for a while. So
that's
my excuse
for
sticking with it. I'm sorry that I failed you and I haven't read enough comics yet. Maybe we should talk about the ones that I did read.
All right, that's fine. Let's talk about some comics.
Do you want to talk about something else first that I haven't read just to, you know, wipe my nose in it further?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. Each week I give Aaron 90 seconds to talk about, at this point, whatever the fuck he wants to. I mean, let's be honest, he doesn't follow my rules. 90 seconds, in theory, one book, one new comic from the past week that we're not analyzing. Can't wait to find out what you're talking about this week.
All right.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Go.
I am talking about Superman Volume 1, number 199 from DC Comics, entitled, Who is the Fastest Man Alive?
K. Can I get a date on this?
Yeah, it's the race between Superman and Flash.
That's not the date.
Trying to look. It is August 9th, 1967.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
Yeah, I bought that today at the comic book shop. Somebody brought in a collection of comics that they, I don't know, I guess they sold it to the store or something. And he hadn't bagged or bought or priced them, but he said I could go through them. And that was one of them there. And it's sort of a key issue that I want. It's, like DC over the years has done these issues where Superman and the Flash race each other for various contrived reasons. Like, so this is the first race issue where they're racing for charity for the United Nations. And, okay. But there are a couple of, like gambling organizations that are betting against them, and they set up traps to try to like foil one or the other so they could win and, you know, make money off of it. And, yeah, so it's great. Great, Silver Age Superman Flash fun. I mean, you know, they have to race each other. You want to know how it ends? Do you want the spoiler?
You got 15 seconds to tell me.
It's a tie.
Are you kidding?
Dun, dun, dun.
That's so lame.
No, it's awesome. It's fun. Fun comics. Comics are fun.
If you say so.
Yeah. Was that the timer?
That was the timer. Could you hear it?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Because it's really loud.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Can you usually?
Yes, and I think you normally are blowing everyone's ears out every week we do this.
Really? How come nobody ever complains about it?
Because nobody actually listens to the show.
Oh, awesome. That's, yeah. That makes me feel so much better.
Right.
Because then I don't have to be worried about it.
Nope, we can do whatever we want.
Fuck, that's great. Okay, uh-huh. What should we talk about?
I don't know. I guess we can just stick to our script, whatever.
I read the script. Do you read the script, Myers?
I read it after it's in front of me and we're doing the show.
Okay.
There's a right answer to the question regarding the biggest lie in comics, and it consists of two words, one name, Bob Kane. Other answers may be big lies, but they aren't that big.
Our first book this week is Marvel's Black Widow number 3, written by Nathan Edmondson and drawn and colored by Phil Noto. Clayton Cowles did the lettering.
I don't think you said Clayton's last name right.
I said it how I... Clayton Cowles?
Remember when we talked to Clayton and he told us how to say his name?
I don't remember. What? He was on the show? I don't think I was on that one.
Oh. Anyway.
Okay. Nobody will ever hear this. It doesn't matter.
You're such a dick. This is Natasha's solo book. It's new. It gives us a peek, kind of like Hawkeye. Before
Coles. Her. Coles.
Well done. Did you look that up?
No. Look, I'm still sick. I had to think.
Anyway, this is Natasha's solo book. It gives us a peek, like Hawkeye before her, into what she does when she's not being an Avenger. She's trying to atone for her past, and that mostly takes the role of one-man missions chosen by some kind of moral compass, theoretically. She still gets paid, though, which I want to talk about because that's a sticking point for me. And her lawyer slash manager slash cleanup guy, Isaiah, keeps things running smoothly back home.
Yeah. Okay. So go ahead and why don't you like that she gets paid?
It's not that I don't like that she gets paid. I just think that's a sort of interesting through line that keeps getting re-emphasized. You know, the premise is that Natasha's done a whole bunch of really terrible things and she's trying to make up for it. And this is a very key character linchpin with her right now. It is popping up in conversations that she's having in other books. And here is her solo book where now we have sole focus on this process. And yet, we continually are reminded of the fact that it takes a tremendous amount of money to do and maintain all of these various missions and projects and things. And so she needs to do the job to get the money to, like, continue to atone. I just think it's a really interesting balance. Not interesting bad, necessarily, but it is a very strong choice that they have not let go. I mean, the past three issues, it has been a major point in the conversations between Natasha and Isaiah, that she needs to get paid. She needs money to, like, keep these safe houses running and to, like, help the people that she wants to help. And often, or thus far, that has meant taking jobs that are, like, not necessarily in line with this atonement process. And so I think the juxtaposition of those two, like, needs is notable.
Yeah, I mean, well, or she, I guess, you know, it could be the kind of thing, okay, she could save up so much money just doing jobs and then dedicate herself to, you know, clearing her karmic balance. But that's a little, that's a way different way of telling the story. And I don't know, this adds a little more kind of realism to it.
Sure.
And this also kind of forces her that if she's on this mission of altruism and, like, kind of righting the wrongs of the past, mm-hmm. that the jobs she takes for money still have to be jobs that she doesn't incur more, you know, karmic debt.
Sure, which is what happens in this particular issue, where she realizes that she can't have one without the other.
Right, she can't let it go. Right. And then that has to balance out. Otherwise, you know, what's the point of doing it all?
Yeah.
Which I find interesting that, you know, she's a character that I don't know a ton about, especially before this issue. You know, I mean, she's always as an Avenger, and you kind of know she's Black Widow, she's a super spy, and she's done bad things in the past. But other than that, I don't really know much about her, and maybe a lot of people don't, and I guess that's what we're finding out now. Mm-hmm. We're kind of peeling back the layers. Which, you know, makes her far more compelling, too, because you just don't, you don't know everything about her, so you want to find out more.
Yeah. I find her to be one of the most inconsistently written characters.
Yeah.
And it drives me bananas, because some of the way that she's written is very appealing, and sometimes it's very off-putting, and this voice that she has in the solo book is, I dig it. I think that her monologuing is very approachable and very, it has a, like, a sad tone to it that I think fits the premise.
Yeah, because there have been other Black Widow solo books before. They just never took this kind of stance.
Yes, exactly. They were much more, like, high energy, much more,
you think about the espionage and drama, right, and fighting, that sort of thing.
But her, I don't know, she sounds older. She sounds very reflective, very aware of, like, the life that she has created for herself. And I think that that, like, introspection is kind of interesting. And I think the way that it pops up in other books also, like, the references to, I guess more specifically, that was like a little mini arc in Avengers Assemble a couple of months ago, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah.
That I feel like really did a good job of introducing this idea that she's aware of what she wants to be doing with her life and the limitations with that and what she actually has control over changing to make up for things that she did in the past that she regrets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I always kind of struggle with that. Like, it's fine for her to have that sort of need to. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't change the past. You can do your best in the future. I always found it kind of to be a ridiculous concept that you can somehow balance, you know, the cosmic kind of scales on you in a way.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that's just a personal way of dealing with the guilt of past, you know, sins.
In her case, she obviously has, like, legitimate hardcore things that she did that are...
There's things she can fix, too, that she can still, like, not undo, but at least make better than, you know, than the condition she left him in.
But you don't think it's a reasonable way of I guess using, like, a mental analogy of scales doesn't work for you?
No, it does. Fine. I think as a human concept, though, we have this sort of thing of, like, if I do enough good, it outweighs the bad.
Well, it's just a human concept. Well,
I think it is a human concept.
Right. So I was going to make the distinction between it being both a product of, like, humanism as well as faith. So yeah. you have, like, sort of multiple sources pushing this idea of balancing the scales so that at the end of your life you look back and you say, okay, I'm ahead. I didn't do enough bad that the good I did can't counter it.
Yeah, I personally just find that to be a weird kind of human construct, though.
Okay.
Because I'm not a particularly religious person either, so like the whole faith part of it, of like, you know, if you repent for your sins and you do enough good, then you get this reward after death. Which, you know, it makes, logically, it makes sense, it's a nice story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a way people can alleviate themselves of guilt for things that have happened in the past, you know. And in going back to our theme, like, it's a way of lying to ourselves that we can undo stuff in the past. Like, you know, people all tend to punish themselves forever for things that they are not happy that they did. And this is a way of making yourself believe that I can make that right. Whereas the past is the past.
You can't actually regret your past actions. It's destructive. You acknowledge that you did them, and then you move on.
Yeah, that's why I live a life without regret. That's why I have it tattooed on my back.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. What's it look like?
It's like, you know, old English lettering. It just says no regrets.
Just giant across your shoulders. Shoulder yeah, and then blade I have to shoulder like a, blade.
Yep, and then I have a Grim Reaper tattoo.
Awesome.
Uh-huh. And that's just how I live.
Right.
That's how I live my life.
It's a very appealing, like, personal philosophy. I'm not going to disagree with that. I think that in reality, not getting weighed down by past choices is very difficult for most people. I think that.
I mean, I'm not saying like I'm some sort of like either sociopath or superhuman. I do the same
thing.
Those
are the choices?
Yes, it's one or the other.
Awesome. Okay.
No, I think you're right. I mean, people that are, you know, life is filled with the experiences we live in it. And I think we're both plagued by the past and comforted by it as well.
If you tell yourself that what you're doing now is better than what you were doing before, whether that's a lie or not, I mean, whatever you got to do to get yourself through the day.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, otherwise you just live life paralyzed.
Right.
Because you don't ever want to do anything else with fear of what the outcome might be. And you can't let yourself be forgiven for anything you've done in the past. You know, like I'm struggling with it right now. Like with Roxy, you know, 3 days ago, something had changed with her. She just, you know, obviously wasn't feeling well, and I just didn't really diagnose it. Like, I didn't take the time to really check her out
mm-hmm.
or be preemptive enough to take her to the vet immediately, like, when she just started seeing strange. You know, and if we had taken her hours earlier, she probably would be even in a much better position than she is now.
Got it.
And I'm not allowing myself to punish myself other than what we have to do now is just to care for her the best we can.
Right.
You know? Otherwise, I'll just sit there, you know, punishing myself for something I can't undo.
Yeah, I think that is, without a tangible thing that you can do instead, I think that it is notoriously difficult to, like, not get caught up internally with second-guessing the choices that you made before. And wondering if you should have done it, and like repeatedly wondering. And I'm not talking specifically about like you and your dog. I just mean more generally that is a very difficult thing for most people to do, because all you have is like time in your head.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of self-control to separate the like regret from the reality
mm-hmm.
and just keep moving forward.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And even, I mean, just going back to the book, like, let's be honest, the life part that we see of Natasha is not fulfilling and moving forward. And, I mean, there's so much baggage that, like, she's not engaged in her, like, life. I mean, there's a moment at the beginning where she says her heart is in the work, which struck me because it's, like, one of the main, I don't know, school mottos at Carnegie Mellon, like, my heart is in the work, but it's said in a very positive way there. And here it's like, she doesn't have anything else intentionally. She's not moving forward. She's not, atonement means that you can you can set it aside and you can grow, you know, towards the future.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, I just don't see that that's anything that is realistic for Natasha Romanoff as a character.
No, but I guess
but
maybe it's a nice,
interesting.
And maybe it's a nice lie to tell herself.
Aw, you're so good with the theme this week, Aaron. I'm so proud of you. It's like you're, I don't know, an English major or something.
Maybe. You want to talk about our second book?
Yeah.
Aaron, Andrea, greetings, comic therapist. This is Roderick Ruth here with this week's nerd confession about the biggest lie in comics. I'm just going to say it. Drawing the line at $2.99. Thanks.
Our second book is Marvel's Loki number one, written by Al Ewing, drawn by Lee Garbett, and colored by Nolan Woodard. Lettering is also by Clayton Coles.
Okay. So I am going to read the introduction that was opposite of the title page because it's awesome. This is the story of Loki. Adopted on the battlefield by Odin, king of Asgard, Loki was the foster brother of Thor, and they didn't always get along. Admittedly, that was because Loki became involved in increasingly wicked schemes over the long centuries until eventually he was known by all as the god of evil. And he was trapped by that definition, spiraling deeper into infamy with each new misdeed, unable to escape his role, unable to escape himself. Doomed to never be anything but Loki. Loki the bad son, Loki the villain, until the day he died. So, he died. Which was, of course, his greatest scheme of all. For soon he was reborn into a new youthful body, free to choose his own fate, with the sword of Asgard's earliest hero in his hand, and missions from the All-Mother, ruling triumvirate of Asgardia, to help polish his sparkling new reputation. So obviously, after all of that, he wouldn't just stab his brother right in the back, surely? Oh, such a great opening. So good. I really, really, really enjoy this book.
That is not surprising.
You tell me why. Tell me why you think that it's not at all surprising that I thought that this was the bee's knees.
This first issue is very fangirl, Tumblr, fan service.
Okay, so I don't have a Tumblr. I wouldn't call myself a fangirl, and I didn't hear what the last thing you had, that you
it's
said
a, it's
was.
It's just fan service. It's just the Loki fan club, like all the greatest hits in this first issue.
What is wrong with that?
Nothing. I'm just saying that's why you like it.
Oh, okay.
Because it panders, which I think is appropriate for Loki. He's he's pandering to you, he's buttering you up, and then he's going to steal your panties.
It was, wow. Okay. Okay.
I'm not doing it. He is.
There you go. However, there was still quite a bit of substance here.
Sure.
And especially if you have been following his journey through, like even before Young Avengers back to...
Well, this ties into both Young Avengers and to Thor, God of Thunder.
Well, it also goes back
Sure. Yeah. It goes back to Journey into Mystery.
Right. So if you have been reading all of this time and you've been following this character transformation and you kind of know the like the genesis of this young Loki and the evil Loki and how they go together, then I don't think that's pandering necessarily. I think that that's, I don't know.
Yeah, I am still a little confused, and I have to look this up because there's a lot of continuity muddlement in the past. Like, I thought young Loki and old Loki, like old Loki killed young Loki already and took over his body.
Yes, but no.
Well, that's what I thought happened in Young Avengers.
It is much more complex than that.
Apparently it is.
And delightfully so.
As long as it makes sense, because right now it doesn't make sense to me.
No. You need to go back and reread Journey into Mystery, and then you need to read certain sections of Young Avengers.
I probably won't do that. I'll just look for a Tumblr. I'm sure there's a Tumblr that breaks it all down for me.
I'm sure there is, too. I'm sure there is, too.
But, no, that's why I trusted that it's, like, it's not totally convoluted. I'm sure I just missed some of the details. And I don't think it's necessary to know all those details in order to enjoy this, either.
Agreed.
It just helps to have the complexity of that story to enhance this first issue.
It's very now. I don't think that it will have, and I feel this way about Young Avengers, even though I adore it. I don't think it will necessarily have the longevity of a classic story.
Yeah.
Because there are so many current references and just, like, it's just so much a product of right now.
Yeah, yeah, and it's, yes. Which is fine. I mean, that's okay, because it's monthly storytelling.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to stand the test of ages. And no, really, but in the end, no comics really do stand the test of ages.
But I do think that what you're speaking to as pandering to Tumblr is more just a style choice that a lot of these stories are adopting.
Yeah, I don't want too much more. I mean, maybe I'm just getting old then.
No, dude, everybody's allowed to have their, it's fine. Everybody has different taste buds.
Sure.
I think this was both very, like, appealing in that way, but also had a lot of intrigue and substance behind it that I think can be, like, fleshed out and developed in a really striking way moving forward. So I'm pretty stoked.
Yeah, and Loki's just a great character. And I've actually, in the last, like, whatever, 4 years, you know, they've really done a lot with him in ways that hadn't been done, you know, in the past. Like, he's easy to be the trickster, evil guy with his, you know, he's got a scheme up and Thor's going to defeat him with his strong punches, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's being smarter storytelling now that it's not just the strong guy always wins, which I always found weird about comics. But that's sort of an aside. Loki is a character that they haven't really tapped even the surface of yet, and they've done a lot with already, and there's a lot more to do. I like it. It's cool. So I hope it keeps up, because I think it's hard to keep continuously write a complex character like Loki without a very long arc planned.
I'm not proposing that this current arc goes all the way back to Journey into Mystery, because we have multiple writers involved at this point. But I think that I have enough faith in the connection and the kind of integrity that seems to be in place here with the original intent that I feel like this could, in fact, go for quite a while and have a both smaller, like, issue-to-issue stories, but then a much larger arc for his development, especially with the kind of moment, the reveal at the end of this issue.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think that one of the things that we're seeing with Loki is that he's so much more sympathetic. I mean, he's a victim of himself, and that you can write that for, you know, decades.
Yeah. And everybody likes a lovable scamp.
Yeah. Right.
Especially the ladies love a bad boy.
Also, he sings Wicked. That's adorable.
Whatever. That means it's time to move on.
Really? That's it? I dropped musical theater and then you're going to switch gears Yep. and we have to talk about zombies?
Yep, let's finish this show up. I'm done.
Okay, here we go.
My vote for the biggest lie in comics. From a July 2011 article on Newsarama with DC Senior VP Sales, Bob Wayne, telling retailers about the new 52. That the new 52 would feature our best and brightest characters and what makes them so compelling and great, and that it's the period that is rich with creative opportunity as we show why these characters are so amazing, so iconic, special. Instead, the new 52 has taken what makes the characters iconic and special and jettison that for edgy, darker, and easy to package across media platforms. That's my vote for the biggest lie in comics. Luckily, Adventures of Superman and Batman 66 continue to publish stories that show what makes the characters iconic and special.
And finally, what you've all been waiting for since, I guess, November, right? This is the last time we did a grief counseling spot. So, in case you missed it before, grief counseling is the segment of the show where Andrea reads The Walking Dead for the first time. We usually talk about them one volume at a time, but she went a little nuts and read issues 61 through 84 in one sitting. I can't believe it either, except I can, because I knew you would love this book. from the very beginning, you lied to yourself and said you didn't like zombies, and you love this book, don't you?
That's not...
You love it.
Back up.
You
back up.
Love it.
Back up.
Love it.
I did not lie to myself about hating zombies.
You did.
You and I both know that I started reading this book when I was going through some serious personal shit, and it was impossible for me to not project. So it took me some months to, like, get the fuck over it and be able to separate myself from the story, which is pretty essential because there's some, like, heavy shit that happens in the story, too.
You love zombies.
Oh, my God, Aaron.
So tell me how much you love this.
I don't love it.
You love it.
I don't.
I will post the text messages for everyone to see.
Did I actually say love it?
Yes.
Aw.
You love it.
Okay. So here's the thing. I really have enjoyed the past several volumes.
You mean you love them?
I've been trying to figure out why that is. I've been trying to figure out if it's
because
all...
it's awesome.
Stop. Honestly, I've been trying to figure out if it's all me, which is probably not the case. I think it's partially me. I think it's partially the, like, where we are in the book. Mm-hmm. And some of the things that happened and the, like, resolution of those things. And, like, some of the shock value.
Well, I have no idea what happens between 61 and 84.
Oh, man.
Obviously okay. A lot.
A lot. Yeah. Okay. So I think the most important thing that is revealed is we realize that the journey to Washington is totally based on a lie, that there's not any communication happening with the government, that the radio doesn't even have a battery in it, that the entire, like, mission to get to DC was based on, like, false information. And so that's particularly traumatic for Abraham to deal with, because he was, like, really pushing to get them there and had been all mm-hmm. along. Let's see. They lost all their stuff at the end of, what was that, volume 10. They had gotten a tremendous amount of supplies together, and then they lost it to the, like, the zombie horde mm-hmm. where they had to make a quick retreat. And so they, for a while, they are kind of hanging out in the open, and it's very precarious. They run into some, like, not so nice people. Cannibals, no right. big deal. Glenn dies, no big deal. I mean, except it is. It's a huge deal, and there's a lot of really wonderful moments with Andrea in her character, like, development in these series of volumes.
Wait, she's, who dies?
Did I get his name wrong?
Not Glenn.
No, not Glenn. Damn it.
Dale.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And so, like, that part and her movement forward and, like, the depth that she gets now that we're circling through these other characters, besides just spending all of our time with Rick, they're not as one-dimensional as they were before.
Yeah.
And that actually helps with the writing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It helps with the story. Okay, so ultimately, they essentially get, like, recruited to come to live in a town that has been, it's off the grid, it existed pre-zombie apocalypse, it is essentially run by a Democratic senator, I believe, who was aware of its existence, and there are, I think they say, like, 60 people or something like that living there. And they've got a wall up and they've got power and everybody's sort of happy on the surface, but then there's all sorts of shit going on underneath and blah, blah, blah. So they get there. They make it there. So we meet a whole bunch of new people. We learn a little bit about the shit that's happening under the surface. And then everything goes to hell. Like, whoa, major handbasket. And the wall comes down and the zombies come in. And I was okay with that. I really, really was okay with all of the crazy stuff that happened, including, and I skipped over it, at the very beginning of this series of volumes, the twins, like, Billy kills Ben.
Yeah.
and then Carl kills Billy. Mm-hmm. And it's so fucked up. But I just kept reading. I was like, oh, okay, I accepted it in a way that I had not done that with this book before.
Uh-huh.
I was definitely yelling at the book.
But have you become more, not desensitized, but accepting of the world that you have to live in?
The world I have to live in. That's, okay.
Well, once you made the commitment to love The Walking Dead, you now live in this world.
So it's not just this, though. I've been really trying, like, in a lot of different areas, like, across all media. I mean, a very wise man told me the other day, I'm an adult. I need to get the fuck over this. I know it's not real. Oh, okay. So I'm working on it. I'm, like, working through my fear. And I'm also acknowledging, get ready.
Hmm.
I kind of enjoy being scared, even though I hate it.
Yeah, that's what like terror and horror stuff is all about.
I know, Aaron, I know, but like I've spent so long actually.
No, I knew this was you. I actually don't like things to scare me, but I knew you love it because you're like a secret masochist.
Okay, well, I'm not sure that I'm necessarily going to get on board with that definition, but I have for most of my life been like obsessively interested in this kind of story and anything paranormal, and yet so fundamentally afraid of it that I couldn't enjoy it. And I'm trying really hard now to channel that interest into potential enjoyment. And like, it's a little bit working,
mm-hmm.
more than a little bit in some cases. And like, that's, come on.
I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. You're welcome.
Thanks. Thank you. Wait, what do you mean? What do you mean you're welcome?
Yeah, you're welcome for allowing you to have this show with me where I convinced you to read The Walking Dead so you could you could accept the pleasures of pain in your life.
It's not... You are turning this into something that it's not.
I don't think so. I think you're lying to yourself. I think one of us is being truthful and one of us is still lying to ourselves.
You're... Okay. Fair enough.
Thank you.
Just saying that there is more here than I initially allowed myself to experience.
You're welcome.
You're a dick.
Uh-huh. I guess so. I still think you owe me big time.
This is true.
For everything.
Everything.
Yep. Uh-huh. Well, this is, hey, this has been a great show.
Well, I have, 15, 16 issues until, like, the big one, right?
I mean, you know, whatever. There's big ones. Like, 100 kind of kicks off this current sort of, you know, big next arc. So it's just a kind of a marker, I guess.
I need to say for the record, since this has also been a point of contention, that I don't know what happens in issue 100.
Yeah, don't spoil it for yourself.
I'm not fucking spoiling it. Despite the fact that several people have assumed that I did, I haven't.
I hope not.
I haven't.
You're only ruining the pleasure of the pain.
Again with that. It just makes me feel a little dirty when you speak of it like that, Aaron.
Well, that's not me. That's you. So.
But I am out of volumes. Like, I didn't buy the rest of it. So, well, I read up through all the ones that I own.
I guess if people want you to read and have more grief counseling, they can PayPal you for...
There's a
PayPal link on the website.
Right. No problem.
I got what you're saying. That's all right. We can put it out there.
That's not what I was saying.
Nobody listens to this show anyway, but I guess we can put it out there.
I really, really don't like you. I just want to also make that extremely clear.
Well, you're stuck with me. I didn't die.
You didn't.
The contract is good till 2018.
I feel like I need to, like, take a look at the fine print somewhere.
Well, get your lawyers on it. It's pretty ironclad.
You got anything else for me this week?
Nope. Hopefully next week I'm even more chipper and gregarious, and I think we're back to our regular interview next week as well. We've
Absolutely.
Got a good one lined up. I'm excited for. So, yeah, I guess until next time, right?
Keep drinking that cough syrup, dude.
I will. It's good stuff.
It made you very chipper today.
Thanks. Okay, talk to everyone later.
You're forgetting some important stuff here.
What am I supposed to say?
Show notes are on the website. Anything else you need is at comicstherapy.com, etc., etc.
Yeah, okay. You took care of it.
I did. I always do, Aaron. I always do.
Pre-order your books or subscribe to them digitally. Yada, yada, yada. Buy the books you love because they'll go away. Don't pirate them. Don't be a jerk. Thanks. Goodbye. Right? Did I nail it?
You did. I think it's time for your nap.
It is. Okay.
See you guys next week.
Bye. Oh, man, I've been holding that in.
Do I have to cut that out?
I have sinned, dear Father. Father, I have sinned. Try and help me, Father. Won't you let me in?